Welcome to the new Teacher Talk podcast.
We are helping you find your passion,
learn your craft,
and share your successes.
Welcome, everybody.
How's it going, Pablo?
It's going pretty good. How are you doing, Wes?
I'm great. I'm wonderful.
Yeah, sweet. So what do we got going on today?
You know what? Great topic today to dive into. But before that, let's just invite people to go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating.
5 stars.
And write some words telling us what you like, what you'd like to hear more of. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we could use your help there. We just want some feedback. Just say hi to us there.
Yeah, we're not great. In this to be alone.
Yeah.
We want to connect.
5 stars, few words. We'll love you either way, though.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out if you leave your Instagram handle.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Yes.
All right, so today we have a topic, and it's called, What Would You Do?
What would you do?
What would you do?
We need some theme music to that.
So we're going to throw out a series of... hypothetical questions that are probably have happened to both of us at some point.
Some of them, maybe.
Yeah. You can tell if we get excited about it, it probably was a real hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
All right. So question number one. You ready for this?
In any order, I think. There's no escalating order here.
Yeah, it's just, here's a question, and what would you do? A student invites you to come out and see them in one of their sporting events.
I play basketball, Mrs. Johnson. I play this Saturday. Would you like to come? What would you do?
Yeah.
Would you go to the game?
Yeah.
Wes?
It's a great question.
Well, I thought you were saying yes. You'd go.
Well, so I'll tell you, my experience.
Yes. Okay. Here
we go. And it's not a cop-out.
Okay.
But my experience the way I started my teaching career was on a high school campus.
Okay.
And we were so lucky and so fortunate that our students practiced and had games right on that campus. Mm. So often the invitation was like, hey, can you come out to the field at 3:00? And it's an event that's, you know, we're running. It's a school district event. Sure. There's no question. And on your part, there should be no hesitation. Yes, go see them. And I can just tell you, I mentioned in another podcast, it pays off dividends with coaches, with other staff members, with the principal. Like, that's an investment. And then even in the relationship with the student, which is the primary reason you would go, that pays off dividends.
Right.
That's not really why this question's on the list, though.
He's on. I don't know.
The question
is... That was not the question.
The question is... Let's say they're like, come down to the park on Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I would go, but, you know, if I could make it, I would go and I'd support one of my students in my classroom. But we got a really good tip from one of our colleagues at the district level.
I'm still like, you would go?
I would go.
Okay.
Well, I said I would go. Okay. Like, there's no hesitation. Like,
would you inform the parent ahead of time? Hey, Johnny invited me.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. I would go and actually tell the principal that I was going.
Hmm.
So the principal wouldn't be caught off guard that, hey, did you know that Mr. Diaz was at Johnny's event this Saturday? She goes, yeah, he told me that he would be there.
That's a good point.
So that was the good tip by our colleague. But
I
do appreciate you bringing up the parent.
Yeah.
Because I don't even think I thought about that angle. Like, hey, Mrs. Johnson, Johnny asked me if I could go. I'd like to come. If you don't mind. Is that cool with you as well?
Yeah.
You know, it's a public space. Of course you're invited, but that's good.
And now that I thought about that.
Yeah, what else are we at?
That might actually bring to light some, I mean, maybe the mom didn't know, for example, that Johnny was inviting his teacher.
Absolutely.
And then the mom might have some reflections about what that means. And maybe it's all good, but maybe it's like there's a reason why they're out there inviting other people. Maybe mom's not going to the games.
Wait, you're going to come and I never go? Probably a bad idea.
Yeah. I like that idea. So check in with the parent, check in with the principal. Solid.
Yeah. So what would you have done?
Let us know.
Let us know.
All right. What's up next?
Next.
All right. This is my favorite.
This is a little different now.
Yeah.
A student invites you to their birthday party. Maybe they're turning 8 years old.
16.
16. Quinceanera.
Yeah.
You know, could sweet 16, like you said. What would you do, son?
And it's at their house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now what?
Most likely, I'm going to beg off on that one.
What does that mean?
That just means like I can't make it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's great, and depending on the size of the community.
So are you gonna tell the student straight away, or are you gonna do one of those? Let me check my schedule.
My wife.
Yeah.
No, I would definitely get back to them, but.
But straight away.
What do you mean?
Like
I would get back to them.
I'm like, Francisco, and I'm turning 16. Mr. Creasel, I would love for you to come to my birthday party this Saturday.
Hey, I'm so honored that you would ask me. That means the world to me. Gosh, you're one of my favorite students. Let me check with my wife and get back to you tomorrow.
Wow, that was pretty good.
I mean, if a student invited me, I'd be so honored. Yeah, and I probably would go. But for the sake of the podcast, I think being aware of your surroundings, you don't know what you're walking into. You don't know what that situation is. You don't know, you know, is there alcohol involved? Then there's a whole other dynamic. I mean, some family gatherings are different than others.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a good answer.
What now, would you do?
Torn a little bit. I want to go. I want to support, you know, the students in my class. But more than likely, and in most occasions, I probably said no. But I had to say it because I just wanted to be definitive and very discreet about my answer right then and there. So like, hey, I'd love to go. But I probably maybe said that I was doing something else or I was busy.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I can't remember how many I actually went to. It would be less than a handful, and two or three, maybe. And I might have been really close to their families or something. In that case as well. So, but it's I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, at all. And depending on the size of the community and the connections, going to a family birthday party, then that might set a precedent you can't keep up with. Yeah. I know where I taught, the community was more kind of a suburban sprawl area. And like going to a family event like that it wasn't like a small town where everybody knew, oh, you went to their birthday party, but didn't go to ours. It wasn't like that. But that's something, if you're in a small town, that's definitely a whole different dynamic.
There might be some other variables, like
maybe
that student, now it depends. If I'm 16, I probably have a few classes. So there might be other teachers that this student invited in as a team.
Yeah.
You went to this party on behalf of the, you know, just supporting this student. I don't know. I feel that there's comfort in numbers. Again, let your principal know and talk, no different, talk to the family member. So I think it's okay.
It's okay too. I think definitely keeping people in the loop, especially the family. Hey, did you know Johnny invited me to the birthday party you're having on Saturday? We're having a what?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
That's key. All right, on to the next one. What do we got next? Those were good. Ooh. Those were good. So as a first-year teacher.
I'm kind of stirred up. I'm not quite sure if I talked through that one all the way, but
maybe
we'll come back to
it.
Maybe we'll come back to that one. What do you do if student steals money from you?
Man, so nobody's leaving. Nobody's leaving this classroom, but I have an answer for that. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying it would have to be a hypothetical situation where your purse, your wallet's in or on your desk, and there's one student in the room, and you had the money. I mean, it's clear. It's clear there was money, and it's gone. But, you know, reality is not always clear. But you have a strong hunch
that
you had money.
You even waffled there. It's clear. Well, you have a strong hunch. And here's why I resonate with that. Probably 99% of the time that I thought when something went missing off my desk, in my head, I never blurted out, but I was like, oh, who took which one of them? What period was it?
I've had that before too.
Almost every time it turns up. Yeah. And yes, a student might have misplaced something, but nothing ever went missing.
Yeah.
And that's 15 years in the classroom. Maybe once or twice something was stolen, but more often than not, it was just misplaced.
Yeah. I would say 95%.
So
I agree with you.
Darn it.
Yeah.
That one gets you. Like,
I've been upset before.
Absolutely.
Like thinking negative things in my head before. Mm-hmm. And then I find out, no, wait. That's actually right here. I discover it later. But in the moment you feel, and this is, I mean, I think this is the real point here is you have to do some soul searching and reflection about your attitude towards certain students.
Right.
I mean, there may be students who you feel they would steal from you.
No, this is true. This is true.
So that's something you have to deal with.
But to answer the question, I probably would get emotionally charged.
Yeah.
But, and that didn't change much over the years. And why did I not learn? That's what this is about. This podcast is about learning. Why did I not learn? Yeah, like the percentages were against me.
Yeah.
Or for me for to find whatever was actually missing.
Yeah, good question.
Yeah. Wow. Good answers.
I got worked up about that one too. But, you know, teacher tip, especially new teacher tip.
Yes.
Lock it up, people. Lock it in a filing cabinet. Sure. Don't leave your purse out. Don't leave your wallet out. Assume that you are inhabiting a public space. There's nothing private about the classroom. So if you have valuables, lock it up. Don't make it a temptation for anyone. And regret the fact that you left something out.
Super advice.
Yeah.
Super advice.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I think so. Go for it. So a parent confronts you about their student's grade, but they do it actually coming on campus.
During the school day.
During the school day on your break. Oof. So they're just whatever, you know, they want to know something about the kid's grade. There's an injustice here.
Yeah.
What do you do?
So just in terms of school safety, if the school office did not call me and say, so-and-so has checked in and they're on their way down there, which that phone call probably would never happen. The school office, in my experience, wouldn't be letting a parent onto campus like that. But if I didn't get that phone call, I would say, hey, dear Mr. and Mrs. Blank, let's walk up to the front office. I have to follow protocol and make sure you get checked in. And I would use that walk to the office for safety reasons to help kind of shift that moment out of my classroom, which I consider a very personal space during my workday, and try to shift that back so I'm with other people and other people are part of the conversation. And then I would try to shift it to, let's schedule an appointment. This is part of my professional day where I'm trying to do X, and I value you and I want to give you the information you need. But unfortunately, right here, right at this moment, it's inconvenient.
Right.
However, the dynamics of the parents might be easier to do that. It might be very easy information to share. I might be swayed just by prior relationships or experience. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you just answered it the way I I think my first thought or inclination is to, yes, just let me help you. How can I help you?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I say that is that I worked for many years on a very open campus.
Right.
Very open. Yeah. Like, parents are picking up their kids from the classroom. It was just wide open camp. Now, we tried to, you know, deter that towards the last few years I was on that campus, and I don't know what they're doing currently, but parents were just always around. So that wasn't something out of the ordinary. But to answer the question, from my experience, everything you said was probably what I should have done, but I handled almost every one of those interactions right on the spot and just dealt with it, or made arrangements. I just don't have time this second or this moment. Can you please just send me an email, shoot me an email. We'll talk about it. I have no problems.
And I think in back to school night season, I mean, there's a whole host of teachers where this is a real life experience about to happen. Yeah. It's back to school night for the whole class. And so-and-so's parent wants a one-on-one grade conference.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be ready for that. You have to know what's your go-to line. You know, here, email me. Let's set up an appointment or whatever.
That's perfect. Have something canned, ready to go so that you don't get caught in that situation.
And we actually, I think the school I started teaching at, back to school night was pre-programmed. So like at a certain time, there was an all call. Staff, please report to blank room for a staff meeting. And that was code for the parents need to leave your classrooms. Don't, you know, have a conversation that's going way too long.
Sure.
There was no staff meeting. It was just a way to gracefully end the night. All right. Love this next question.
Go ahead.
Bring it. This happens right in the middle of class. You're launching into a subject.
And a student says,
pipes up, why are we studying blank? So the big old, why are we studying this? What do you think, Pablo? How would you handle that?
Yeah. I think the thing is that students ask this question because there are times where we as teachers maybe don't front load them with enough information as to what we are actually doing.
You're trying to be delicate.
Yes, I am. Because you know what the canned statement is, you know, because I said so. You just want to move on.
That's how we grew up.
I right? Because I said so. But the idea is that I empathize with the student a little bit. Like, I know it's what would you do. So what would you do is, because it's good for you, because I said so. Because it,
you wouldn't
no,
say
I,
that.
No, I know I wouldn't. But in my head, I'm thinking, come on, this is good stuff. Let's just, but what, but that's why I'm saying yeah. I would empathize with them because I understand that
yeah.
I didn't do enough
yes.
to at least set the stage for what we're about to learn.
Yeah.
You don't need to give away all the secrets, all of the energy or all the excitement or yeah. all the engagement. I get that. That's what you want to say, but you should have it incorporated in any kind of activity that you're going to do or lesson.
Yeah.
But I know I'm still skirting around the answer. Like what, but well, I think you need, I think that matters.
Yeah.
In that kid would not necessarily say that.
Yeah.
If you were prepared.
Yeah. I think there's like multiple levels of the type of, like I'm going to use, I don't know if you remember the old video game Joust. I'm giving away my age. No,
it's like, yeah, sort of.
It's like,
yeah.
Well, if you think of jousting, a tournament from the old middle ages, like you ride together on horses with these lances out and you try to knock each other off the horse. You have to kind of intuit what type of question this is. Are they are they trying to derail the learning or are they really curious? Like you're implying it's a valid question. You haven't done enough. So you have to kind of intuit the level of the question. Like, is it really... is it really trying to deter you from proceeding in the lesson? But what I wanted to say is, I think in terms of that question, one, on your board, like you probably have some standards, objectives, learning goals. Like there should be something up there you could point to. However, I think 90% of that time, that doesn't really answer the question.
It doesn't.
Right? The student's asking... like not what are we studying or the learning goal so that we're reading this story so I can, you know, learn figurative language. That's not the why that the student's asking. They're more asking like, why is this important or what does it matter? But I would love to at that moment go, oh my gosh, great question. Can anybody help me out? Yeah, and just throw it back to the class and see if there's a peer out there who knows the why. And, you know, maybe they'll say, we talked about this yesterday to set up the lesson. I don't know. but I think, yeah, getting at whether or not we've done our job in terms of setting up that why is that's important stuff.
And that goes back to as much as possible tying in real world problems with the things that you're doing, because in isolation, some of the things that we do fall short.
Yeah.
And that includes reading maybe short passages of things that where it's not in the context of reading a whole chapter, a book per se. And to, I don't know, I can't even think of, I was trying to think of some language arts things, but I know I resonate back to, or you know, it just my mind goes back to math, but you know finding a solution to any problem, but what does that really matter? A kid could ask it almost every day. Why we're practicing, why we're doing this, and they're all valid questions. All valid, but I think if in some way shape or form you tie it all back in to the work that everyone should know, but you know, personalize it in some way to that student, I think that the question would be asked less. But it's valid. It's valid.
Well said.
It's valid.
Absolutely.
Do your work.
Do your work. Oh my gosh. So we have three more questions.
Yeah, I think we're going to probably do, let's pick two of those three.
I got mine. I want to do the last one.
All right,
one,
you do it. Let's go with it.
After your first year, you're given a prime assignment that was supposedly earmarked for another more veteran teacher. How do you handle that?
Well, first, that's a good one. So can you give me a little bit
you
more?
You came comment? Up with that one.
I did, but I it's not that it happened to me, but I could see myself, like, so if this position was earmarked for someone else.
Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah, supposedly. So I would first have it. You'd want to have a discussion with your administrator as to why am I being selected? I'm very honored.
Yeah.
And I'd love a crack at it if you do feel good about pursuing it. But then I would like to, I mean, maybe you just, if you don't know that another person was earmarked for them, then I would just say, yes, let's do this. I'm
but
honored.
In this case,
you do know. Then I think I do talk to the other teacher and just get some more insight as to what this position's all about. It doesn't mean that you don't go for it. It means you respectfully at least advise or tell that other teacher that I'm not sure what the circumstances were going into this year and what was promised and what wasn't promised. But I just had this discussion with an administrator. I'm interested.
Yeah.
Tell me more about, you know, your history with this.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Tell me more about your history and how do you feel about it?
Now, if they don't want to hear it, like, then came on. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, divisive here, but.
This question really is about, like, your relationship and level of trust that you're allowing to be built with the whole staff, not just the administrator and the teacher involved.
Right.
Other teachers will see that and go, wow, she went and talked to so-and-so and cleared the air. Like, that was a good move. Or she just jumped on that assignment, or he just jumped on that assignment and didn't look back and c'est la vie.
Yeah. I mean, you must have done something right to get that praise or get that, you know.
I think where my mind goes is asking the administrator, like you said, like, what else do you want me to know about this? How does the teacher who was slated for it feel?
Yeah.
That backstory, like, I think sometimes, I don't even know. Sometimes I think all the time there's a backstory and there's reasons why people are getting shifted around and you don't really know what that is. But I think even if the administrator can't tell you everything, I think showing them that they're aware, showing them that you're aware and you're trying to protect staff relationships is the honorable thing to do.
Yeah. But being part of your, you know, your community, your teaching community at that school, you got to do your best there because that matters too.
Absolutely.
All right. Last one. These are all pretty good. I like this.
Okay. What do you got?
The last one I'm going to go with, what if I just, no. Okay. I'm going to go with this one. Two kids from the same class are in a fight, but the fight happens outside of your classroom. Yeah. Maybe they were suspended, maybe they weren't, but eventually they return to your classroom maybe the next day.
Yeah.
What do you do? Is there something you need to do? They're back in your classroom, same kids that had a fight just a day ago, 24 hours ago. What would you do? What do you do with those students?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So a lot, there's a lot here. Like, you can have knowledge of what caused the fight. You can have knowledge of what happened during the fight or after it, or you cannot. There might be, and you're probably always missing some part of the truth. But I think the question gets to, if you see, like, you're picking up signals that everything's not okay still, what do you do to help resolve that? I know for myself, I would go towards some sort of, like, restorative kind of mode, but I would probably start by asking students individually, how are you doing? I understand this happened. How do you feel about coming back into class with so-and-so? And just sensing where they are, ask them to kind of just talk about how they're feeling and let that be the first step. What do you think?
100%. Yeah. Happened multiple times in my classes.
Junior
high is rough. Yeah, I mean, they get after it. But 100%, I would actually either conference with them individually, but I liked actually conferencing with them together.
Yeah.
And I'd either pull them out or I just naturally, at the end of a period, hey, can you guys stay back? Nobody else knew.
Yeah,
And great. I just wondered, what happened, guys?
Yeah, you know, that's great.
You know, or what can I do in this classroom to make, you know, your classroom experience for the rest of the year enjoyable? And so always conferenced with them, played that counselor role. But
that's great. Good stuff, man.
And always worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for today. Remember, leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. I'm begging a little, aren't I?
I mean, it's fine.
Okay.
If you don't beg for something you want,
If you're not begging, you're not begging.
Do you want it?
Somebody said that one time. I don't think that's how it goes.
All right, people.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Connect with us on social media at Pablo and Wes.
On Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, and all the podcast places on the web like
iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Overcast.
And remember to get your free special gift at
PabloandWes.com/gift.
Yay!